Welcome to the Evident Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, John Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this April the 7th on the West Coast, now April the 8th on the East Coast, and in the Central Time Zone. We'd like to welcome those listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world, and also on BlogTalkRadio.com. Well, I want to start out tonight. Before I bring on tonight's guest with a short message. Tonight's scheduled guest, Michael Herzog, is actually a little bit under the weather, and I decided that it would be best to allow him to recuperate. He'll be on later on this month, and we didn't really plan anything as special for tonight's show. However, we always have a great way of communicating with one another, and Michael brings a lot of interesting details about many topics that we don't hear in the mainstream. So he's always an excellent guest. We wish him the best, and I was fortunate enough to find an excellent replacement guest for tonight, and we'll be bringing him on in a moment. I want to thank all the people that enjoyed last night's show with Dr. B. And I want to encourage anyone that missed that to listen to the archive if you haven't subscribed to BBSRadio.com archives. For a very nominal fee, you can subscribe for a whole year and download any of the shows on the whole network. Or you can ask about subscribing to Evident Footprints. Certainly you can help keep this show on the air. And those archives are yours. You can download them and keep them on your computer or put them on a CD and listen to them over and over again. Lots of good information. So I encourage you to do that. Lots of email going around, as usual. It seems to come in spurts and hundreds at a time. When I say spurt, I'm not talking about one or two. Lots of email. Lots of junk mail, lots of spam. That gets trashed. And then occasionally something sneaks through the cracks. And here's a piece I'd like to read to you, and I'm going to play a message for you in a moment, but I think this absolutely sets the stage for what you're going to hear from a surprise guest that we have on the show. This is called Truly Remarkable, and I'm quoting the piece now. I think it is remarkable that within a week of Tiger Woods crashing his Escalade, the press found every woman with whom Tiger has had an affair in the last few years, with photos, text messages, recorded phone calls, etc. And they not only know the cause of the family fight, but they even know it was a wedge from his golf bag that his wife used to break out the windows in the Escalade. Not only that, they know which wedge, and each and every day they give America more updates on his sex rehab stay, his wife's plans for divorce, and his plans to return to the pro golf circuit. Amazingly, Obama has been in office for over a year now, and the same press still apparently are unable to locate Obama's papers while in college, or how he paid for a Harvard education, or which country issued his visa in the 1980s to travel to Pakistan as Barry Satoru, and even Michelle Obama's Princeton thesis on racism. This information just can't be found, yet the public still is expected to trust that that same press gives them the whole truth. Truly remarkable. Now, the surprise guest this evening is brought to you courtesy of Atla Ministries and our good friend, the man who coined the phrase, the long-legged Mac Daddy, gave me permission to use it until I realized he's really the short-legged Mac Daddy, Pastor James David Manning. And these are his words.
Now, they have locked up Lieutenant Commander Walter Fitzpatrick. They've arrested him down there in Tennessee, in Monroe County, Tennessee. And I'll tell you why they arrested him. He has been challenging through a grand jury proceeding, presentment, that Barack Hussein Obama is not a natural-born citizen. And they know about him, and they have, he's had several court encounters. But now they've arrested him. The local authorities have done so. My friends, I want to say this to you. I want to speak to all my Tea Party people and all the patriots in America, all patriots worldwide that love this nation. It is wrong if we don't rally around Lieutenant Commander Walter Fitzpatrick, if we don't hold demonstrations and raise our voices around that courthouse, that jailhouse down there where they've locked that man up. If we don't do that, then our marching to Washington is worth nothing. It's nothing but vanity. Please listen to me. Please listen to me. You may disagree with Lieutenant Commander Walter Fitzpatrick. You may disagree with him. You may not think that he's on target, or that he's using the appropriate tactics. Well, he may disagree with you that you are not on target. Or your husband may disagree with you and may have voted for Obama. I think that we need to come to terms with something here. If we who are opposed to Obama, to his spirit, to his name, to his Marxism, to his hatred for America, if we are opposed to Obama, then we need to stand up with Lieutenant Commander Walter Fitzpatrick and Lieutenant Colonel Terry Latkin. We need to stand with them. We need to stand with them. Can I share one more thing with y'all? And I promise not to inflict myself upon you any further. You know, I'm now looking and saying, if the patriots in America don't rise up one and all across America, all 50 states, if they don't stand up and stand with Lieutenant Commander Walter Fitzpatrick and Lieutenant Colonel Terry Latkin, if the patriots, the Tea Party people, the conservatives, the Republicans, if the Rush Limbaughs and the others, if they don't stand up and unite with these two military officers, I'm concerned now that should I be arrested, maybe I'll be left hanging, holding the bag, left to, hung out to dry, and nobody comes to protest or make a noise or lift a sign or raise their voice that I might be set free. I'm concerned about that. And not that I'm going to stop doing what I'm doing or that I'm begging for attention. That's not what I'm saying. God forbid. I'm saying to you, we can't let them arrest this man and not do anything. Then our Tea Party Association is all in vain. Everybody, we can't pick and choose. Well, he's not popular, you know. If they arrested Glenn Beck, would you be protesting then? It's wrong to marginalize. Listen, if you believe Glenn Beck is doing a job, then you got to give Lieutenant Commander Walter Fitzpatrick and Lieutenant Colonel Terry Latkin, you got to give them their due as well. You just can't pick and choose. You can't do that, people. You can't do that. You're wrong. The Tea Party people ought to march down there in Tennessee, the Tennessee Party, and the Oath Keepers as well. Hey, Oath Keepers, hey, why aren't y'all out there demanding that you let your fellow Oath Keeper, Lieutenant Commander Walter Fitzpatrick go? I'm not beating up on you. My voice is strong. I'm passionate. I go direct. I don't cut corners. And so it may seem that I'm trying to beat up on you. That's not what I mean. I'm trying to advise you, Oath Keepers, Tea Party people, patriots alike, conservatives and Republicans and everybody else. Let's stand with these two lieutenants that in the Navy and in the Army. Let's stand with them. Don't leave them out there by themselves. Come on, everybody. Come on. They locked up Lieutenant Commander Walter Fitzpatrick, and now they're trying to say, Lieutenant Colonel Terry Latkin, that he's got a medical condition or a psychological condition. Don't let him label him that. Don't do that. Don't let Obama do this, y'all. Don't let him do it. Now listen, I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. And Obama will not know any freedom or any peace. The only way he'll know it will be over my dead body. That's right, it'll be over my dead body. I'm going to keep on doing what I'm doing. I'm not asking for your sympathy, but I'm concerned that we pick and choose who we're going to support. We can jump up and down about the health care bill, but we can't jump up and down about Walter Fitzpatrick. Now, maybe some of y'all are still already on the case. Well, praise God and boom shakalaka.
Outlaw. That's what God said. That's what God said. That's
That was courtesy of our good friend, Pastor James David Manning of Outlaw World Ministries in Harlem, New York. Actually, he's renamed Harlem Outlaw. And, boy, you want to talk about preaching or a passion for the topic? I share that passion as I listen to people still spin this Hegelian dialectic between the parent from Hawaii and the parent from Kenya. I mean, it's absurd what we've been spoon-fed by the propaganda media. And that's all they are, is propagandists. There's not a word of truth that comes out of the media. It's a farce. And we may talk a bit about that, but I know that tonight's guest, who came on special notice at the last minute. As usual, he's there for us when there's something important breaking, some important story that we're not hearing on the mainstream media. He hosts his own website, one of the most popular in the world. It's a repository of research that everyone should become familiar with. And he's our special guest tonight, my good friend, from educate-yourself.org, Mr. Ken Adachi. Ken, welcome to the show.
Hello, Don. Thank you so much for having me on again.
My pleasure. Don't you just love that energy that man has?
Yes, I do. And after listening to what he have to say, I'd like to make a little comment. I wasn't planning on saying this, but I think I should. You know, I was raised in the Northeast of the United States, and I was from a lower class, blue collar working family type environment. And I lived all my life with black people as neighbors, many Hispanics, mostly Puerto Ricans from the part of the world that I lived in. But I've certainly had relationships with black people all my life. And there's one thing that I would like to emphasize, this is not new information, but I think it's true and ought to be said. Something that I've noticed all my life is that while there are criminals, cheats, slick people of both the white race and the black race, in general, I found black people, Negro people, to be far more, let's say, spiritually honest as a group than, let's say, whites, for instance. When they know something to be true, they don't pull their punches and remain reticent and tight-lipped, etc. They wear their hearts on their sleeves, for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't help but admire the honesty of spirit of a large percentage of black people. I think one of the reasons the New World Order gang wishes to eliminate the black race from this planet is because these people as a group, as a whole, of course, I'm only talking about the group as a whole, are simply too spiritual. They're too advanced on the spiritual side. They're too willing to be honest and to say what is honest and true and forthright and act accordingly. They don't wear a mask very well, as many white people tend to do. And you hear that honesty in this man's voice. And I'm quite certain this is the reason the Illuminati doesn't want this race on the planet. because they simply are too spiritually developed. And this, of course, is the reason why AIDS was seeded in Africa. The main reason was to wipe out the black people. And so that note has to be made. These people, by and large, are more courageous in many respects and more willing to just tell it like it is and to be plain and honest and forthright and let the cards fall where they may. I think we should all take a lesson from that. This man possesses true grit, courage. He encountered a scary situation a couple months ago, I guess, when some government agents came to him, etc. So he has good reasons to fear that he himself might be unfairly arrested, as these military men have been, and subjected to the same sort of routine that these guys are undoubtedly being put through. So my hat's off to him. And yes, people who are in a position to get out there and raise Cain need to do that. If we let these guys go down and no one speaks up for them, then this is no longer America. We're just a land of scared people just waiting for our turns to be sent off to the showers, and it's going to be the end of this country.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to mention that about him. He's really a very inspiring person.
Yeah, and he's an excellent speaker, too. And yeah. Keep in mind, he wasn't reading that. He wasn't looking at a teleprompter, either.
No.
You know, so it's amazing. I played a clip from the opening day of the Nationals baseball season, and he goes out there wearing a Nationals jacket. We're talking about the short-legged Mac Daddy now. Throws one YouTube viewer called a sissy pitch. And he even missed the backstop. Let's put it down.
Oh, I see.
It was pitiful. But then we heard this. Rob Dibble asked him, called him to the mat on who his favorite White Sox player was. Even now the sports fans see the ruse. Even yeah. those who are basically dumbed down with entertainment and diversion, and even they see the phoniness, because he didn't answer the question properly. He mispronounced the name of their stadium, brought up the Cubs, then made the assertion that he grew up in Hawaii, so therefore he was an Oakland A's fan.
I see.
And never named one player.
Right.
Okay, it's obvious that if this man doesn't have a cheat sheet or a teleprompter,
right,
he can't answer
the question. Right, exactly.
He can't think on his feet, which makes me think it's not his feet.
Right.
enough said about that topic. But I know, first of all, I appreciate you coming on such short notice, as I mentioned.
Sure.
And you're always in. You have your nose stuck in something new that either you're writing about or somebody sends you. You're always paying attention to what's going on outside of the normal information channels, if you want to call them that. And I know that you wanted to share something new with us, and this is something likely that I've not heard.
Yes, I am going to talk about some information that is very new, and it's going to be rather interesting. It concerns the chemtrail program.
Mm-hmm.
Before I launch into that, though, I just wanted to say that it appears from what I've observed here and from the email I'm getting from people, I'm getting a fair amount of email from people who are giving me an update on the chemtrail activities in their area, and this is both in America and in other parts of the world, which I think is very useful. I need to post a lot of those emails. I haven't put them up of late, but I am keeping them. I am cataloging them, and eventually I will because at least by reading this article, which I put up in the first week of March, that talked about an unexpected abatement in chemtrail activity, and I was hoping to get feedback from people, and I'm very happy I did. But anyway, it does give you an idea of how things stand with chemtrail spraying, at least in the parts of the world that the people are reporting from. So I'm getting people from America, from Canada, England, Scotland, Germany, different countries. And I put the location under each response so you know exactly what area they're referring to. It appears there has been an upswing, an intensification in chemtrail activity in the last week or two. Something very unusual occurred on the weekend of March the 6th. I'll explain some of the information that I was given concerning that weekend. And then some additional information was gleaned about a week and a half later. And I once again ask people if they've noticed any change whatsoever in chemtrail activities, just send me an email so I can get an idea of what area might have less or more or whatever the case was. I just wanted to hear from folks. So I did get some really nice feedback. Concerning what seems to be an increase, at least in some areas of chemtrail activities, I have to assume it's because, A, they lost some spraying time on this event that occurred on the weekend of March 6th. What I mean to say by that is that a number of chem spray planes were put out of commission on that weekend, and therefore they couldn't have anywhere near the coverage they had. But beyond that, I think that they're trying to speed up their program in general, because I think too many people around the world are catching on to the whole New World Order takeover game. And unless they really get us ill quickly and get us vaccinated up so they can stuff those poisons in us to take us out, I have a feeling that the New World Order thing might not go down. And so I have the feeling that a lot of people are, in the last couple weeks, let's say, experience a big upswing in, let's say, flu-like symptoms. This is the usual symptomology that we get from breathing the toxins that they're raining down on us with chemtrails. Now, I myself came down with something yesterday when I almost never come down with anything. But I did, and I had been nursing a very low-grade upper respiratory infection for a few weeks now, for 4 or 5 weeks, not really attending to it vigorously like I should have. Anyway, I had a big upswing yesterday, and I'm hearing from a number of people. I have a friend that came to visit us who was in the hospital actually for a month, which what he calls asthma symptoms. He said, you know, I never had asthma in my life. Now, this is not a young person, okay? So I didn't tell him, but I knew he spends a lot, his person spends a lot of time outdoors, and he's succumbing to chemtrail symptoms, you know, because of the big upswing in their poisoning campaign. So just a quick 5-minute tutorial here. If you have symptoms that, you know, sore throat, headache, sinus, that type of thing, the thing you usually get when you're a cold is coming on or a flu type situation, you should do something about it right away. Don't sit on it. And what I generally do is there's a number of things you can do. There's not just one or two, but this is an easy group. I start taking a lot of vitamin C because vitamin C jacks up your immune system. No matter what you have, whether it's an oncoming flu, whether it's some toxic reaction to chemtrails, whether it's more serious disease, if you take vitamin C in large enough amounts, it has a tremendous restorative effect to your immune system. And the type of vitamin C that I take is the type that is recommended by Linus Pauling in his books. He came out with some wonderful books in the 1970s about vitamin C and the common cold and vitamin C and treating cancer, etc. And he recommended a type of vitamin C that's in a powdered form. It's not a tablet. It's not in a Senna capsule. It's in a powder form. It's called ascorbate. Ascorbate is a combination of ascorbic acid, which is what vitamin C is, and a mineral with a plus charge on it that when the two combine together, they form what we call in chemistry a salt. And this allows you, of course, it doesn't taste like table salt. It's just the name for two compounds, like two, you know, molecules that combine into that compound, which is called a salt. Anyway, it's pH neutral, which means it has a pH of 7. So if I were to take a level teaspoon of powdered ascorbate, which is available in just about any large health food store, you can buy it as calcium ascorbate. You can buy it as sodium ascorbate. Some stores even have it as magnesium ascorbate. But calcium ascorbate or sodium ascorbate are the two most common you find. And you take a level teaspoon of that and you put in a little bit of fruit juice with some water and drink it down. It has almost no taste at all when you put it in fruit juice. Yet, if you take a level teaspoon, that's equivalent to about 5 grams. The nice thing about taking ascorbate instead of the other forms of vitamin C, which is in the acid form, is that it will not upset your stomach because it's pH neutral. So when you take it in, you can easily handle a teaspoon and not notice any stomach upset, not notice anything, you feel fine. So it's an easy way to take a large amount of vitamin C and not have, you know, a burning stomach as a result of it. So if I have a cold coming on, I'll take a level teaspoon every 2 or 3 hours. And that's really ratcheting up my immune system. I do other things. This is so simple to do. I use 3.5% hydrogen peroxide. I use it daily to rinse my mouth. But I also use it as a spray. I have a part of my website devoted to hydrogen peroxide. It's one of the links at the top of my page. And when you click it on, you'll see there's a lot of articles there about how to use hydrogen peroxide. And one of them is by an elderly man. He's in his late 80s now. In which he sent me an email 3 or 4 or 5 years ago. I can't remember exactly when, but he said, listen, he says, I use peroxide all the time. I inhale the mist. He said, I was able to get rid of, you know, a very serious lung condition many years ago by doing this. So I put his article up and I follow his advice. I get a little pump sprayer from the drugstore. It has a drug in it. I just dump that out. I rinse the container real good and distilled water, and then I put in 3.5% peroxide in it. And when I pump it, it makes a real fine mist. And what I do is I will pump a couple mist squirts up each nostril, and then this will help me clear out my nose. If your nose is stuffing up, you'll be amazed how quickly this can clear out. It feels a little uncomfortable because the peroxide is reacting with white blood cells or pathogens, et cetera, that are in your nose. It oxidizes, and so you have a lot of nerves endings in your nose. So it feels a little bit uncomfortable. You can handle it. I mean, most adults can. It passes in 5-6 seconds or so, and then you'll feel perfectly normal. So what I'll do that, I'll both inhale a couple pumps through the nostrils. And I'll also exhale very hard, and I'll put the inhaler, and I'll pump it very quickly and draw in a very deep breath as well as I can while I'm pumping this mist into the back of my mouth. And some of it is going to get into my trachea and then into at least the upper reaches of the respiratory system. And if you have pathogens there, as you typically do, if you have an upper chest infection, etc., it will start munching all those pathogens, and you'll start bringing up phlegm. And of course, the phlegm is the white blood cells, which have engulfed the bacteria, the virus particles, etc., and now it has to discharge, so it comes up in your throat as phlegm, and you spit it out. So those are real easy things to do. I also use colloidal silver. I can inhale colloidal silver. I can breathe it up my nose. I can use either drops of colloidal silver or peroxide in my ears, and I put a little cotton plug in there. And it's amazing just keeping a little peroxide and colloidal silver in your ears, hold it in place with a cotton plug. It's amazing how they will take care of congestion. You know, you feel very headachy when your sinuses first begin to respond to an infection, and your throat hurts, of course, it's et cetera. Just doing these simple things can really make a huge difference in knocking down a cold. You shouldn't just sit there and wait. Now, you could do other things. You should stop taking anything that's sweet. Sugar really lowers your immunity big time, and it will keep your immunity low for 4 hours after taking it. So don't use any sugar in anything. Just avoid
your dairy products as well.
Well, dairy products can create phlegm, which, you know, will kind of add to your misery. But anything sweet, when you're sick, don't take anything sweet. Just avoid it, and you'll recover much faster. There's a whole slew of herbs you can take. There's homeopathic compounds all over the place. If you get a book on treating yourself with homeopathic compounds, you can get them from just about any health food store. You can get them over the internet. Once you learn how beneficial and effective a homeopathy is, you don't want to be without it. I have a couple of great books that I use when I want to attend to a symptom. I just go there. I got a large number of homeopathic products here on hand. My friend Luke Gatto really got me turned on to the whole topic of healing with homeopathic compounds, and I'm kind of a convert now. So I'll use homeopathy. I also use herbs. There are so many herbs. You can just get them from a health food store real easy that will address any symptom pretty much that you have. Again, they have all kinds of books available, treating yourself with herbs at home. I mean, there's thousands of books in print, and you just have to read a little and learn how to do it. Like if you have a cold, echinacea works like gangbusters. You just take two or three capsules every 5 or 6 hours, and you can take herbal teas. There's lots of ways to get rid of symptoms which doesn't require using pharmaceuticals.
Yeah.
So every time I come down, like I did last night and today, I start loading up with the things I'm talking about. And while I'm not completely recovered, I'm feeling much better this evening. And it's been less than 24 hours that those symptoms came on. And they came on real hard, real bad. Headache, pain behind the eyes, that's the sinuses. Those stuff dried up. Throat hurting like crazy. Feel real tired. I had to sleep, etc. So that's just a quick 5-minute tutorial. Did you want to add anything on
that? Well, I'm just from listening to you, I'm understanding this old phrase that I used to hear when I was a kid. It was sort of a salutation and best wishes kind of statement. May the blue bird of happiness fly up your nose.
Yes, but there was a famous song, I think, that had that line in it as well.
Yeah.
So
I'm getting some IMs from Drew Raines. He says that Little Rock, Arkansas is currently under siege of chemtrails, as well as Shreveport, Louisiana. Some people down there told him that it's increasing there. Semerfol, Russia, in the Crimea. Drew's girlfriend, Eugenia, who is a nurse there, works in a hospital, says that chemtrails are now increasing there as well. It used to be maybe once every other week. Now it's at least once every 10 days, and they're doing the crisscrossing type of chemtrails. So this is not natural. These are not natural phenomena. This is intentional,
right,
and very conspiratorial and criminal.
Right.
Need I say more?
Yes. So I'm going to add some, I'm going to tell you some new information that I had gained in the last few weeks about the entire chemtrail program. Now, much of the information is going to be, unusual. And I can't prove.
That's why you're on Evident Footprints.
Yeah. I can't prove a word of it, so. You know, there's always a certain percentage of people who are highly skeptical. Well, how do we know that? And what proofs do you have? Yada, yada, yada.
Okay. Use your discernment, we always say.
I can't prove any of this. I'm sharing the information with the audience in the interest of having the information known. It's okay if you don't wish to believe it. That's fine with me. There are wonderful events taking place behind the scene, Don. I've told you privately about some remarkable things over the last couple of years that I've been privy to. You, in turn, have told me some remarkable things you are privy to that you can't say publicly in great detail, and I, too, cannot reveal publicly the participants at this time for many reasons, but their safety being the biggest reason of all.
So that's our show for the night. Thanks.
However, so I want to share, though, some very important information that was given to me. I did not obtain it. I don't have the ability to obtain it. I'm merely passing it on. But those who have the ability, those who were responsible for obtaining it, know who they are and know that you have not only my gratitude, but the gratitude of all on this planet who will gain and reap the benefit of their work. These individuals do this work in silence, without praise, without recognition, because frankly it can't be done any other way. This is the only way, only possible way to effect these changes. We are a planet. We are all created by God. He put us on this earth to evolve upwards in a spiritual, on a spiritual path. He gave us a beautiful, beautiful planet that is just right in every regard. You know, temperature and conditions of growth and beauty of scenery, and it gave us all the animal life we need to sustain our life and to flourish and grow and live long lives and have a fulfilling and worthy life. That's what was given to us. The Illuminati gang are working for the dark side. They're in league with Lucifer, the fallen angel, whose whole purpose is to unwind, dissolve, or rend asunder the magnificent beauties of creation that was given to us by God. Now, God created Lucifer as he created all that's in existence. Therefore, Lucifer can't box with God, as somebody said. However, when the dark side has so much technological advantage over us, the, you know, the average folks, the people who aren't privy to all the inside machinations of the militarist and the private elites, the corporations, et cetera, that have been developing advanced technologies for a long time, 70, 80 years, at least from the early 30s forward. The elite groups, power groups, have had access to ever-increasing volumes of advanced technology, while the general population of the Earth is kept in dark about this. They have advanced so far now to the point that if we didn't have intervention from a higher source, there's no way we can possibly overcome their genocide agendas. Now, of course, the chemtrail program, while it has been using, is being used for multiple reasons, if I had to put one overriding purpose behind it, it's the genocidal purpose. It's so that enough people around the world breathe in these toxins and they settle and accumulate in our body tissues and we can't excrete them. Of course, it's the toxins are falling on food and surface water supplies as well. And undoubtedly getting into underground surface water. If enough of it winds up on the surface, eventually it'll percolate down to underground aquifers, etc. So it's a poisoning operation overall. It's been going on since the winter of 97-98 in earnest. It was done experimentally before that, but they really turned the program on in the winter of 97-98. So now we're going into 12 years of breathing these toxins. We all now have metals in us in large amounts that we didn't have. We have pathogens in us, particularly stealth. What I mean by that is laboratory-created pathogens of different types in us that we didn't have prior to the... Many people now have nanobots in them, nanotechnology, which results in the symptoms we're calling Morgellons. So the overall purpose is to weaken immunity, so when they plan on either killing us through the vaccinations, which is probably their main goal, is to put these stealth bugs in the vaccines. And we know for certain that now the vaccines are preloaded with nanobots, so you're chipped. If you're going to get a vaccine, you're also going to get chipped. And the chipping is this nanotechnology can migrate through the blood-brain barrier and attach to cells in your brain. Once that happens, you are manipulable. You're obviously trackable, but they can control your body. They can control your actions. You are a puppet in their hands. This is one of the reasons I, at least, was spending a lot of time beginning midsummer to pour on the articles about the swine flu vaccine, because it wasn't hard to see that the whole thing was a setup. And you have really outstanding people like A. Truat, who really dug into who, what, and why, et cetera, behind the whole operation. But it was necessary to try to get as many people as possible to realize taking that vaccine is the dumbest thing you could possibly do. And that goes for any vaccine from here on out. There is no way to know what are in vaccines. This doesn't mean the nurse giving you the shot or the doctor who recommended the vaccine is any more in the loop as to the plans of the New World Order than, you know, the mailman is. But you need to be smarter than these people. If they don't know those vaccines are toxin-laden, then maybe you ought to tell them. In most cases, they do know. And in many cases, professionals in the medical business aren't taking vaccines. They're just not telling the patients that. But they aren't taking the vaccines themselves because they know very well what's going on. So,
neither is the Congress or the short-legged Mac Daddy.
Yes, exactly. Whatever you know, show they put on TV, rolling up their sleeves, just play. It's distilled water, folks. Don't be so stupid. Okay, it's nothing but shows. These are actors. They're all traitors for the most part. And they're trying to bring in this one world government.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've got to now have our wits about us 100% of the time. And taking any vaccine for any reason, tetanus, anything, my advice is don't let anyone put a needle in your arm with anything from here on out. Until the two world order is thoroughly defeated and we get rid of these reptilians and the whole nine yards, don't take a vaccination. That's my advice. No matter what you have to do, if your kids can't go to school, homeschool them, whatever it takes, don't vaccinate, particularly young people. You're going to pay a price. Okay, now let's talk about new information.
Okay.
I mentioned in this article I put up around, I guess it was March 7th or 8th, 9th, somewhere like that, that on the weekend of March 6th, something very unusual happened. There are people who've learned techniques, Don, to enter into what we call the astral plane. Now, some people call it the ether. Some people call it the etheric plane. We're talking about a dimension other than the three-dimension world that, you know, we are living in right now. However, it's a real dimension. And if one could learn to enter this plane, you can move around in it, people who know how to astral travel, for instance, can go anywhere they want, as it were.
And you don't have to buy a ticket.
You don't have to buy a ticket, and you could do it consciously.
And instantly, yeah.
Yeah. Some people who've taken the time to learn the techniques of remote viewing, for instance, are accessing information through a higher dimension. They're not necessarily going, physically going to another place. They could be. Some can do that. But they're sort of using the highway, as it were, to access the information. Well, these people, who I call etheric resistance fighters, can use their mind and enter this world. And those who are very adept at it can actually travel there. You know, we all have an astral body, which looks exactly like our physical body that we see in the mirror. It's an exact duplicate. And people who learn how to astral travel, for instance, and they can consciously leave their body at night. Let's say their body falls asleep and they learn the techniques in which they can exit their physical body. Now they're in their astral body. If they could see themselves in a mirror, they would see the same body that's laying in bed. There is no difference, okay? Your astral body looks... Yeah?
The silver cord.
Right, right. We're connected. There is a cord.
Of light, really.
That connects the astral body to the physical body. And no matter how far you wish to travel when you're astral traveling, you could go to another planet. You could go to another universe. This cord, as it were, stretches out very thin, but it stays connected at all times. Now, this sounds real weird because people imagine, well, wait a minute. How can I go across the universe and have this thing? You're thinking in terms of 3D physics, okay? This is not the third dimension I'm talking about. It's a higher dimension. So a lot of things can happen there readily that can't happen so easily in this dimension, okay? So anyway, yeah, you're attached by this, what's called the silver cord. And anyone who reads any books on metaphysics, you'll encounter this conversation all the time.
Yes.
Etheric resistance fighters have, some of them have natural skills. Others have learned techniques in which they were able to apply and to enter the etheric at will. Now, this is quite different than falling asleep and, let's say, having a lucid dream and astral traveling. What I'm talking about is someone who has the ability, can close their eyes, go into a sort of meditative posture, and step right into the etheric plane. Now, one example of a person who can do that is Carol Croft. And I was quite amazed when, you know, in the years that I was posting Don and Carol Croft's articles at my website, she often was able to do this when they were on the road and encountering the bad guys. And she could find out what they were up to because she simply was able to go into the astral and could enter a building, a room, an underground base, wherever she needed to go to get information and be right there and, you know, overhear the conversation of these people who were trying to, you know, harm them and otherwise plot against them. Well, some people can do this. I can't, but I've been contacted by people who can.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result of these excursions, let's say, a number of remarkable things have been taking place. The reason I believe certain individuals are extremely talented in this respect is because we need their assistance at this time. And the God force is with us. And as a result of the overweening, or let's say the overbearing technological advantage of the dark side over us, and they have all the money and they have the underground bases and they've got, you know, they simply have everything lined up in their corner and you just have naked people on the other side of the equation. If we didn't get assistance, then we wouldn't have a chance and the whole planet would become a prison planet, and the human race wouldn't be here much longer. But we are getting assistance, and this is one avenue of assistance. There's other avenues. We've talked about things like the sylphs helping out to detoxify chemtrails, et cetera. And that's all of this is being generated through the divine plan, okay? God isn't going to let us hang out to dry and simply succumb to these evildoers. He's not going to let it happen. So we're getting help. And what's happened here is that a particularly skilled team of these etheric resistant fighters was able to find out some remarkable information about how the chemtrail program is being affected. What they were able to do is they were able to project themselves into a chem spraying plane. Initially, they wanted to just see the plane spraying action up close. And once they were up close, they decided to take a look inside. They wanted to see what the equipment looked like, whether there was people piloting, etc. So they have the ability to literally enter a chem sprayer plane while it's spraying. Now, they entered it, and then they essentially had to create a hole in the fuselage to get inside. Now, you know, don't ask me how this is done. I'm just telling you this story. You know, I don't mean you, Don. I'm just talking to the public in general. Mm-hmm. Don't ask me how it's done, okay? Because I don't know how.
Can I ask you? No.
But
just kidding.
They're in their astral bodies, and they enter into this fuselage, but they created a hole in it. They got a look at the equipment inside, and also the first thing they noticed right off the bat, there are no human pilots. These are drone planes. They're being operated by computers. I mentioned a few years ago that I had gotten information along those lines that when the chemtrail program started, there was mostly human pilots flying those planes. They gradually segued over to all drone control. And today, while undoubtedly there are some planes that are still being piloted by humans that are spraying, the vast, vast, vast bulk majority of chem spew planes are computer-controlled drones. So this is the reason it goes on 24/7, day or night, etc. And while it seems to be so much spraying in so many different parts of the world, yes, they have a large fleet of craft, but one thing this team found out is that these craft have, they're aerodynamic. Let's say from the ground, they look like an airplane, but they have special equipment in them. They have equipment in them that allows them to do some of the things that UFOs can do. For instance, they can blink in and out of the third dimension. And, what happened is that when they entered this craft, because the computer equipment perceived a ballistic going through the craft, it's programmed to return to its home base. And what happened is that this craft, one moment was flying in a blue sky, and the next moment the people inside who are reporting this said that it became very dark, and they were instantly teleported to an underground facility. And there is a sort of runway, it's a rather short one, about the length of an aircraft carrier, in this underground facility, and that the plane very quickly landed. And the landing was so precise that as it taxied up, it literally went nose to tail with another chemtrails plane that had landed prior to it. This is so precisely controlled by computers that it was a nose to tail type of arrangement. Now, the fellow was able to exit the craft and to look around and to have a conversation with some of the people who were working this underground facility.
Still they were in his astral body.
In the astral body. These people have the ability to manifest so that the humans they encounter can see them. They don't see them quite as normal opaque people, but they can see enough that they can see there's somebody there. And they were able to get them to talk. They have the ability to do that. And they've acquired a lot of information as a result. First, the largest percentage of these chemtrails planes are refueling and refilling with the substances in these underground bases. They are not landing on surface bases as probably most of us had assumed all along. I presumed it was hidden military bases, Area 51 type of off-limit type of bases that they were refueling at and refilling up with the chemicals. But some of those probably do exist. The majority of them, however, though, are refilling in these underground facilities. Now, there is some security there, but not very much, because obviously no one knows, except, you know, the people at the top of the pyramid of this operation, that there is this underground facility. Some of them are under well-known airports. I won't name them today, but they're well-known airports. And some of them already have the reputation of having underground facilities under the surface airports. There's a number in this country. There's a number in Europe. They're in Australia. They're in Asia. They're around the world. Now, there is a computer that is controlling all this activity. And essentially you have a maintenance crew there that maintains the computer. The refilling, refueling of the craft is all automated. It's an assembly line. And as soon as a craft is refueled and refilled up with more poisons, off it goes again. And it literally starts down this runway. It blinks out again of the third dimension, makes a dimensional jump to a predestined location, manifests back in the 3D, starts spraying. And now they drop whatever load they're going to drop on that particular, let's say, city A. The computer will blink the craft out of the third dimension, hop it over to another city, which could be on the other side of the world. It would only take a minute or so to get there. It remanifests into third dimension and starts continuing the spraying. So that's a very new piece of information, that these craft, while they look like airplanes, have this capability some people call it Stargate, some people call it Jumpgate, but they're able to blink out dimensionally and reappear at another location. Now, if you remember, Don, the Philadelphia experiment was an experiment that originally was intended to make naval sea vessels invisible to radar.
Yeah,
that was the
cloaking technology.
Right.
Yeah.
But they found out in the work, they ultimately found out that a ship could blink out of the third dimension, and it went into, some people call it hyperspace, and it showed up in different places around the Earth and for a short time. And eventually it did reappear back in Philadelphia Harbor. But that was 1943. So if it's a real stretch to think that the government in all this time hasn't perfected this, let's say, this time-space travel capabilities, then you'd be rather naive. Of course they perfected it. And I remember hearing talks by Al Bielek in the early and mid-90s.
Mm-hmm.
I have a number of his lectures. I've talked to him many times on the phone. In the late 90s, in the early, up to 2004, 2005, we talked often on the phone. And they've had this capability across for their ships, for, aircraft carriers, for fighter jets, et cetera. They have this technology. So it's not really that new. The public hasn't been told about it. The only thing we've been told about is, let's say, more conventional cloaking schemes, like putting these special tiles under the craft that would have video screens, and they're taking a picture of the sky above, and they're broadcasting it on the screens under the plane, and that's why we can't see the plane. Yeah, okay, that's fine. They do have that, but that's not the real deal. The real deal is they have this jump gate technology, And that's what they don't want you to know. Now, I've also found out that besides these underground refueling stations, there were these huge, I say were because there aren't quite as many now as there were in the past, very large computers they call AI, artificial intelligence. And they were specially made to control and coordinate and configure this entire chemtrail spraying operation worldwide. And these computers used a sort of an anti-gravity technology that allowed them to move up and down in a large tubular cylinder structure that the cylinder was made out of, let's say, a Lexan type of plastic, so it could be seen through, but the computer overall was generally had a drum shape to it, had many tentacles that plugged into multiple jack ports that was located in the entire length of this vertical tube. This tube would run perhaps 40 or to 50 feet in length, and they were secreted in almost all cases in underground locations, sometime in caverns. In a couple cases, they were above ground, but that was not the majority. The majority of them are underground. And anyway, these large computers are completely self-driven. They have maintenance people, but it's artificial intelligence. And that's what they've been using to coordinate the spraying and how much spray you're getting, what toxins you're getting, how long those jets are on and off. It's all computer controlled. So some of these etheric folks have found that there's ways to cripple this equipment. And they have successfully crippled not all, but some of their equipment in this regard. And they've also found that it's possible to, create enough difficulty at these underground landing and refueling locations that they would have to go through a great deal of time and money to refurbish, let's say, the facility to put it in back in full operational condition. So know that things are being done, even though we're not hearing about it in the news, things are being done. And that, in fact, the consternation and the panic that those who know of these things, of which I'm referring to here, of the military folks in charge of these operations, of the civilians who are, of the planners, their consternation is off the chart because they cannot stop these individuals from throwing a monkey wrench into their operations. It's very surprising how many people are doing this work and don't fully fathom the evil of what they're doing. And the large percentage of the case, both in conversations with military personnel involved, as well as civilians, essentially they're viewing the whole thing as a job. And believe it or not, this is what gets me the most. The U.S. military men that are engaged in this work actually believe that it is a legitimate obligation on their part to serve their country. They're serving the military and serving, in their words now, they're serving the country. They're doing the job that they was assigned to them. And I would have to say they're almost proud of themselves. Now, we saw this type of, let's say, ultimate brainwashing with German troops in World War II, et cetera. The folks who are doing this in our own military need to wake up to reality. They're helping or assisting or enabling these dark, reptilian-controlled groups to destroy the human race and to take everything that's good and wholesome and worthy about life and to turn it into a very dark cauldron of fear and and death and destruction, et cetera.
Yeah, they're also destroying the plant and the animal kingdom.
Right.
And the oceans. I mean,
yes, you know, exactly.
All life
yes.
forms are suffering.
Yes. And it's amazing because these conversations have taken place, and I've been privy to what's going on. And in most cases, these people don't actually realize the seriousness of what they're doing. They're just viewing it as a job that has a high security clearance. So, you know, they're well paid. They've got lots of perks and so forth. But they actually have deluded themselves into thinking that this is okay to do, that it's they're part of this ultra-secret deal team, et cetera, et cetera. And anyone who's doing that work just needs to wake up to reality. They're helping to destroy this planet and destroy their own, and destroy their own people and their own families and their own kind. So Monkey Wrench was created, and as a result, I believe a number of their craft were no longer operational after that weekend. Now, they have plenty of craft, and what I found out is because of this jump gate technology, I found out that they're actually using an off-planet location to also gather much of the materials that are used, the barium, for instance, that is used in chemtrails, et cetera, are actually coming from an off-planet location. Because of this jump gate technology, they can have what looks like an ordinary plane, but it's all wired to be a drone, and it has this UFO jump gate technology in it. You can move it from a satellite, let's say the moon, for instance, to the Earth in about 3 minutes. So a lot of, materials can be made and retrofitted, and there can be a lot of storage, etc., of planes, etc., can be done not even on the Earth because of this jump gate technology.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we didn't have this information that came from these etheric resistance people, we wouldn't have a clue about this, and we certainly couldn't do much about it. But I believe we are at the early stages of a turnaround in the chemtrail operation, because there are people who are learning how to access this plane and learning that we can create with our mind. I just put an essay up by a man named Andrew Gusick called "I Am That I Am." And I didn't ask him to send this to me, but I've been in contact with this man for a month or two now, a very interesting fellow. And he sent something to me that parallels something which I had just been reading a few days ago in a very important book written by Walter Russell called The Universal One. And I'll encapsulate the thought as this, is that everything in creation is part of God. Therefore, we are all, subsections of God. As a result, we can do what God can do. We can create. And everything in physicality is essentially illusion. What's real is what we call the universal mind. And we are all capable of participating in the creative act. And these folks who learn to, do this work on the etheric plane knew this information, or know it, I should say. And they were able to, tap in to a methodology that allows us to undo these bindings that this New World Order gang is trying to tie the whole world up in, to enslave us, all these chains that they're trying to put on us. They can be undone. And you have to realize that it's your thoughts, your intentions, your positive thoughts that will make the greatest difference in fueling this resistance. Because the more you allow yourself to be depressed, to become, morose because the New World Order seems to be gaining ground, and the more you are in fear of your life, of not having, be able to earn enough money to live or to get food or have enough ammunition, all these fear things, you feed the dark side. And when you think positive thoughts, that, like when you see the chemtrails, call in the sylphs. Know they will come in. And think, I want to add my positive thoughts of love to all those who are doing this work. We call that boosting in this game.
Yeah.
And by just silently thinking to yourself, I send my love and encouragement and help and my energy to all of you everywhere on this planet who are doing this work, they will get that energy. And we'll find more resistance, etheric resistance fighters coming out of the woodwork as the months roll by here.
Now,
so know that the change is in the works.
Yeah.
Just yeah.
I wanted to add something, Ken, not to interrupt you. General Jeremiah from the United Galactic Federation called into the show last year on May 29th and again on July 28th. In fact, you were the guest that night and yes. got to speak to him. The other show was with scientist inventor Jim Murray. And on your show, you may recall, and this is for new listeners or anyone that missed that show, General Jeremiah stated emphatically that they had come up with some countermeasures to reduce the, let's say, the efficacy of these chemtrails and what they were intended to do, because they put the word out there, well, we have global warming and we have to spray the skies. Although they didn't deny their spraying, they say the reason the chemtrails are up there is to cool off the Earth,
yeah,
to protect it from overwarming. And we have discussed, you and I and others, Jim Murray and I have discussed ad nauseum the fact that there are newer, higher frequency energies coming to the Earth and to the Sun and to the whole solar system and to the whole entire galaxy. And this information is going to raise the consciousness of people. And these bastards is all I can call them. They're not legitimate, okay? And I don't intend to sound vulgar. I give them every meaning the word could possibly have, however. And these bastards are intent on destroying, as you said at the top of the show, the creation. Everything they're doing is destructive. We can change that through our creativity, but we have to take responsibility for it. It always comes down to responsibility. One's health is a responsibility. You can't wait for someone else to care about you enough to keep you from being sick. The people that we are led to understand are those whose vocation that duty falls in are participating in the program with others. If it were not the case, it would not be denying what we know. You don't have to be a doctor or a NASA scientist to know what a chemtrail is. When you're cleaning it off of your car or your lawn or your house or your pets or your plants and your garden and your lawn and your trees, this is real stuff that they're spraying. It's poisons, it's toxins, it's disease, and it is on another level. I mean, we have the United Galactic Federation to thank for that. And I don't care if people want to believe that. Their ships have been filmed very recently. Their ships have been filmed. And we've discussed that on past shows. I have a copy of that film. In fact, it was shown on television. Of course, the mindless claptrap and the spin about what it was has to accompany the film. But if you turn the sound down, you see it with your own eyes. And I have seen those craft, and many others have seen them. And as was predicted, we would be seeing those craft more and more. So we do have help. However, we have a responsibility. We keep looking for a savior to come and rescue us. We are those saviors.
Yes.
We are the saviors.
There you go. That is the point. Yes. We are the saviors.
Ken, we got to wrap up the show here. We're out of time, but it's fascinating information, and I'm sure people will want to look into this. As time goes by, I know you're going to probably write this up
into a piece. I plan to put more detail in writing. Not right now, but I will. And I really wanted to just share this information so people can fathom more why they can't, for instance, locate. They're not refueling or refilling these planes on the surface.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that the program is so ubiquitous, it's more understandable now when you understand that they're using the jump gate technology to move a spew plane, let's say from New York to over Dallas in a split second. It mm-hmm. disappears over New York, reappears over Dallas. This is why so many parts of the world are being so heavily sprayed so much so often.
Yeah.
Because they're using the jump gate technology.
Yes. Now, just to underscore that statement that I made, basically the governments of the world and the military forces are denying that what we see is being done, yet they have another explanation for what it is. Absolutely illogical, that response,
right.
You see?
Right.
We must discern. You don't need to be a genius, and you certainly don't need to be psychic that the thought progression doesn't connect on both ends of their statement. Simple. They say they're spraying the skies, and they're not spraying the skies.
Yes.
So you figure that out. All you have to do is look. There's your answer.
Yes.
Okay.
Right.
Ken, I want to thank you for being on the show and let the audience know that you'll be with us next week. Actually, you'll be on the show on the 13th. We picked that Illuminati number intentionally.
Okay, great.
Okay, that's a Tuesday. Sandwiched in between Dr. H. Ruat and Elder Hale. So I'm looking forward to that show as well.
Okay,
thanks. And I want to remind people they can go to your website, which is a repository. I wouldn't call it a library. It's a repository of information on many, many topics. Certainly chemtrails is one that you've been researching and publishing for a number of years, and it's as good as any of the other chemtrail sites. That website is educate-yourself.org. Make sure you put the dash in between educate and yourself. So, Ken, I wish you a great evening. Get well. Shake that bug, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Don.
Folks, that about wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com and our special guest, Mr. Ken Adachi. Special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network and BlogTalkRadio.com for carrying Evident Footprints. Also, we'd like to thank Don Newsom for the sound tonight, Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me tomorrow night when my special guest will be none other than former U.S. Marine Drew Malone Raines III. In the meantime, I wish you a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.